airing the Addisons.
Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now, we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh.
Addison.
On American Family Radio. For some reason, I didn't hear you as loudly and clearly as I could. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'm here.
I can hear you, but not coming through the microphone. Welcome to day two of Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. It's great to be with you. We did a little bit of an introduction to the Addisons yesterday, and so it's great to meet a new audience in this capacity. Many people will be familiar, as Will and I have been here at the American Family Association for over 10 years, and I have mainly served as the on-air host, but yeah. In the last 6.5 years, we've done it together,
right.
On our Urban Family Talk initiative, and we have folded those networks into one. And so now we'll be meeting you here every day at this hour, and we're excited to be able to do that and talk about the issues of the day. Our program may be a little bit different,
yeah.
In the lineup, maybe a little bit jolting, because what we really feel like the Lord has called us to do is to address the condition of the family and the church and take a look at pop culture,
yeah,
and then look at some of the headlines that are out there and then filter those headlines through a decidedly biblical worldview, whereby we are actively engaged and doing that unapologetically through the conviction that only comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
The question often is, you know, when you look at the headlines and you look at what's going on in the world, how do you approach that? How do you talk about those issues with the same amount of conviction that you have on a Sunday morning?
Right, right.
Far too often, we are appalled in the pews,
yeah.
on Sunday morning. We, you know, we hear about things going on, but then we go back out into the culture and we do nothing. We don't know how to engage. We don't know how to take our faith with us. So, you know, one of the things that we aim to do in the program that we've hosted together for a long time is allow sort of a behind the scenes look at how we process the daily headlines, how we process the news, which also includes politics, but mainly it's looking at the cultural implication of what is being pumped out into our society and
right.
even at how that pushes back on the church.
Right.
And so that's what you'll hear us talking about on a regular basis in the last segment of the show. We will open the phone lines and get your take on some of our discussions. Before we do that, we ran out of time. Let me also welcome Sherry B back.
Sherry B.
Hail, hail, the gang's all here. It's good to have Sherry B back with us. Who's going to be fielding your calls, and so we appreciate that. And it was very encouraging to get a little nod from Sherry after our first hour yesterday, making the shift. it's just good. And anybody who listened to us, and maybe you've listened for a long time, then you are familiar with Sherry B. And so you're kind of rejoicing a little bit yourself, going, "Oh, look, they're all together again." So there you go. Let's do this, Will, because yesterday we were talking about Kanye West's church.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that Kanye West has got something that he calls Sunday service. Okay, I just want people to understand.
And we said it's not a church.
It's not a church.
No.
It's not the church that we meet in the scriptures, right?
Right?
I want people to understand this. And why is this important? Because if people are unfamiliar with this, Kanye West is the husband of Kim Kardashian West.
Right.
Right? She's pretty well known by a lot of people. Who probably are inside your house, okay? She moves a lot of units as it pertains to makeup and clothes and all of these things. So she's a big deal in pop culture. And most people would have been, you know, if you were not formally familiar with the Kardashians, you would have been familiar with her efforts to work with the president on prison reform. And so you would have looked at that and thought, well, that's just a grand thing. But there are other things that the Kardashians are up to.
Right.
And so we have to be on our guard. It's not just that one aspect of their engagement, if you will. One of the other things that they're doing is that they have this thing called Sunday service, where apparently from the articles that I've read, obviously I've not participated in the service, but from the articles that I've read, Kanye West hosts a Sunday service that boasts of not having any preaching. They don't use the Bible. previously they said that there was no praying. It was just a collection of people who wanted to come together and worship. And there was basically music provided for the worship. So it's a big concert.
Pretty much.
For people to come together and to have a spiritual experience. I mean, that's what we're talking about, correct?
Right.
It was,
right.
I mean, it's like a Hallmark commercial. You know what I mean? Like people just want to feel, they just want
to feel something. They want to be, they want to have something that they call church without actually having
church.
The word of God. Yeah,
exactly right. None of the things that are really going to trip you up as you live an autonomous life,
right?
Like rules, like requirements, like what the Lord lays out in scripture, what he requires
of
us, none of those things. Right. And so we're going to remove those things from our gathering. That's not going to be a part of when we assemble.
Right.
Well, anyway, they broke from their stated, system, the way that they would conduct Sunday service. And they had rapper DMX earlier this year pray. Now, I also, and the reason this story grabbed my attention is not because it's new. Kanye West has been doing Sunday service for over a year now. But the reason it grabbed my attention is because it's making headlines that, he's constantly tweaking the service. So he has participants sign non-disclosure agreements.
That's crazy. Like, I don't get it.
Well, let's think about that. What could be the possible reason that Kanye West would have for someone to sign a non-disclosure agreement? You come to Sunday service, but you can't let people know that you've been here. One, two, you can't let them know what has happened. Well, anyway,
video of this of some of the
and
stuff
his
that's
wife
happened.
Kim Kardashian West is the one who's like tweeting them out and putting them on Instagram. Well, anyway, a few months ago, rapper DMX was invited to be a part of Sunday service.
Right.
Okay. And DMX was invited to pray. Now, that's against the norms of Sunday service, as they call it. They don't have any of that, right? It's a so-called Christian service where all we do is gather and we sing songs. We just sort of live in our feelings, okay? And then we go home. But we don't tell anybody what we've done. We don't tell anybody what has happened because we have also signed a non-disclosure agreement. Guys, this is 21st century living in America at its finest. And I think that there are people who would hear this and they would say, well, clearly that's not a church. But what we fail to realize is that clearly this appeals to tons of people because these gatherings are packed out.
Yeah.
They started in a stadium or they started in a building and then moved to an open air stadium or field of some sort because they couldn't house all the people who were coming. Guys, this is a picture of the modern church right now, or maybe we should say the postmodern church. This is 21st century America where we get to call it a church, but it doesn't need to look anything like what's in the scriptures.
Well, it's like you have what's being called Christian witches.
Exactly. Great point.
And a bunch
Great
of like
point.
Spiritual things, but not really rooted in what's biblical, as far as really being a Christian.
Yes.
And so it seemed like that's a trendy thing that's happening. People want something that's spiritual.
That's right.
Without actually having
Jesus.
Yeah.
Without having the Lord God, without having a supreme, ruler who has identified himself in scripture. He is the God who speaks. We don't want to hear from him. We just want to tell him who we think he is. This is where a lot of Americans are today, Will.
Yeah.
And even some who may say to themselves or say publicly, we would never attend a Kanye West service. They go to churches where they would feel more comfortable in that type of setting.
Mm.
Like, it's like if we could have 2 hours of worship and maybe like 10 minutes of the word being taught, this is all right with me. Look, I love worship. But to say that you could be comfortable walking from a gathering of believers and say that the Bible is never cracked open, that we never take a look at the living word of God,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. And I think it reveals a condition that's kind of rampant in our culture today.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, anyway, yesterday we got to the end of the show.
Yeah.
We played the clip, DMX praying. And I thought about it. And I thought, man, people could be really offended that we would play a clip of someone praying. And I thought people could be really offended that we would then follow up with a critique. if you will, of that prayer. And I thought about that, and I think that's legitimate. Like, a person could say, well, hey, you know, what's, because we got a caller at the end of the show, we ran out of time. But the gentleman said, you know, what's the problem with DMX's prayer? Well, my first statement is this. First of all, you have to consider the source. And the question is, when you have a person who lives life on his own terms and lives for himself and will produce an album that is just laden with expletives and then follow that up with a prayer, right, where he thanks God. I mean, it is the it is the epitome of hubris that you can say, you know, it's sort of like the person receiving the Grammy and they want to thank God for all the vulgar music that they've made, as if the Lord has blessed that, as right, if the Lord has smiled on that, or right, as if the Lord has advanced that. So my first statement in response to, well, what's wrong with his prayer, is that first we have to consider the source. So often we have this approach where we're like, if a person is doing what looks like prayer, mm-hmm, they must be speaking to our God, the one true and living God, because it looks like prayer. They're speaking out into the air, right? They're hitting what we consider to be the marks of what would be, this would be prayer,
yeah,
right? But my question is, what's the difference between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? The prophets of Baal are crying out. They're speaking out to the air. They're yelling for their God. And Elijah mocks them. Mm. He's like, maybe he's using the bathroom.
Right.
He's like, you know, he's like, yell louder. Maybe he's taking a nap.
Yeah.
We're, you know, and so when I say that, I'm not using it as a justification to say this is why we brought this as an example and played the clip. I'm saying that we have got to be able to know the difference between a person who is crying out to the God who speaks versus the person who is crying out to the air or to the God they have created. So often that's where our culture is, and we're afraid to say anything about it because we're like, well, you know, everybody's on their journey. Okay, well, be that as it may, eventually we should arrive at a biblical construct of God, correct?
That's right.
I mean, eventually, if we're on our journey and we're growing, right? There was a sanctification process. But the thing that stands out to me is that, one, the person who is purportedly praying has also exhibited the type of life that is very self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Like, I gratify the desires of my flesh. I'm living for myself. I mean, can we look at fruit in a person's life and say, is that person a believer?
We should be able to.
I mean, is that self-righteous for us to look at a person's life
and
say?
Well, people would want to make you think that's self-righteous, but clearly, from the biblical standpoint, we can examine fruit.
I'm going to say this, because if we don't need to examine the fruit of a believer's life as a person who's claiming to be a believer, then we really should probably not bother checking, you know, 2/3 minimum of our New Testament. Mm. We shouldn't, because it's riddled with how you live now that you claim to be a believer.
Yeah.
That's yeah, all throughout. Like, once you get past the Gospels and understanding that this is who Jesus Christ is, this is what he came to do, this is where he is now seated making intercession for you. Once you get past that Jesus Christ has ascended, right? And maybe you get to the book of Acts and you see how the gospel spreads. Okay, let's include Acts. You want Acts, you can have Acts. After you get past that, at some point, you have to start to realize that the Bible is dedicated to teaching you how to live in a way that is consistent with your profession of faith. And if we cannot measure that, if we don't have a way to check that and to say, I don't know that Jesus is okay with fornication just because a person says he knows my heart. Yeah. I mean, that's like the go-to. That's where people tend to hang out, right?
That's right.
The other mark is that the God to whom many people are praying today is totally okay with them.
Don't have to change.
They don't have to change. They don't have to do anything. They come to God as they are, and they stay just like that.
Yeah.
And he's all about them. They are the object of his affection, right? He's totally focused on them. He's after their advancement. He's after their, you know, their I mean, it's very self-aggrandizing. I mean, it's all about how I'm going to keep, it's the onceler.
Yeah.
God's going to keep biggering me.
Right.
He's advancing my territory.
Yeah.
This God doesn't require anything of me except for me to come, and then he just blesses me. I got a little more I want to say on that. We can do it after the break. This is Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Did you know the Dead Sea in Israel is made up of 38% salt? Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the days we're in Israel, we visit the Dead Sea. And guess what? Folks get to, quote, swim in the Dead Sea. Actually, you can't swim very much. You certainly can't sink in the Dead Sea. But it's very interesting to experience that if for only the one time in your life. So we're going to be going to the Dead Sea for a day. We're also going to be visiting Masada and many other places on that particular day. So it's going to be a wonderful experience in Israel. And we'll see all the sites you've read about in the Bible, in Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, and on the list goes of places we will experience. If you want more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Up next, Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From poverty to professor, from GED to PhD, a bold Christian speaking truth to power. Here's Carol with today's 2 minutes.
Politics is a rough and tumble business, perhaps lately more so than ever. A single party dominates both chambers of government in the majority of the states. The Democrats have 18 states, the Republicans 29. Each is finding it much easier to get their legislation through in their respective states with an opposition party too small to do anything but make noise. A study from the University of California at Berkeley points to the problems of governmental gridlock. No feelings of compromise from the majority, and many in the electorate feeling unheard and unrepresented. Republican-controlled states vote to control abortion and protect gun rights, while Democrat-controlled states vote to protect abortion and control gun rights and just about everything else. It all seems so predictable, and this study seems to assume this will be a static situation. But this is 2019, not 1819. We are a mobile nation. If we don't like how things are in our state, we can vote with our feet. The low unemployment rate makes it easy to move where you'd like to live, where you're more politically comfortable. Don't like abortion laws in Alabama? Then move to Illinois. Don't like high taxes in New York? Move to Texas or Tennessee. That's how federalism is supposed to work. Our states are laboratories for change.
Learn more about Dr. Carol M. Swain and help support her ongoing work with your tax-deductible donation to Be the People Project at carolmswain.com. That's carolmswain.com.
This is Airing the Addisons on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Aaron the Addison on American Family Radio. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And we're talking about DMX and talking about his praying at Kanye West Sunday service. You said something yesterday as we were talking about this once we were off the air. You said, man, one of the biggest indications that, you know, this is not, I mean, Kanye West is not going to bring anyone who's going to preach the gospel.
No.
I'm sorry, right, guys. Right. I know you're fans of Kanye West. You love him. And you're like, man, Miki, we just need to pray for him.
Right.
Yep, but we also need to speak the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we can't keep using prayer as a cop-out and just saying, well, we just need to pray and not talk about it. No, we need to expose the deeds of darkness. When there is wickedness, we need to talk about it. We need to be unashamed. We need to be unapologetic. Now, we need to use the word of God as our straight edge. But there is nothing that we have been able to see in DMX's life that would put him in the category of, you know, here is, you know, a regenerated life. Here is a new convert. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, at some point, there's got to be fruit in keeping with repentance.
Amen.
Correct?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And so that's my response to the gentleman who called, who was wondering yesterday, you know, what's wrong with his prayer? It was, it's, you know, and I want to say this too, and I know that this is, man, this can be very annoying to people, right, when you say things like this. But let me just tell you this, and this is a shocker moment, right?
Uh-oh.
God is not on your side until you're on his side.
Okay. Amen.
God is not on your side. Do you understand? Like, I think so often we're like, I know that God is for me. God is on my side. I would not have been able to do this if God were not on my side. And what we're often talking about.
Sound like a song to me.
Is, I know. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Anyways, here is the challenge and the encouragement, right? To know the Lord God as he reveals himself in the scriptures and to understand that he is after his glory. He's not into sharing that with you or anybody else. So even if the Lord calls you to a task, and even if the Lord is watching over that task to see it come to fruition, it is not for you independently of him. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So when we have these feel-good moments where we're just sort of like, you know, seeing all of the things that we've been able to, you know, I don't know, just accrue over the years, you know,
right.
and we want to make that a testament of the Lord approving of our life. Like, I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, don't we have a different measure? Like, I'm thinking of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we were talking about this a few weeks back, where we were talking about the article that came out that talked about the purity culture that destroyed some adults living today who grew up in the purity culture. Remember
right.
that? We were talking
right.
about that? I'm sorry. The purity culture.
Purity.
Isn't that the application of the word of God?
Exactly. It's a God idea.
They make it seem like it was the WWJD bracelets.
Right. Well, they, you know, had the purity rings and stuff. So people.
Well, yeah. And that's true. That's true. But I mean, those things were symbols
yeah.
of, they were an outward symbol of what was supposed to be an inward conviction of the heart
yeah.
that we believe the word of God to be true. We're going to apply it. Right. So you've got this, we were talking about this. You got this article where you've got these older adults who are now saying that the purity culture of the 90s destroyed their lives.
Yeah.
And the question is, what did the evangelicals get wrong? Well, there you go. That's the reason we're having this conversation, because evangelical is a bad word. It's a byword today.
Mm.
So if the evangelicals were anywhere near it, then it had to be bad. It had to be oppressive. It had to be anti-woman. It had to be anti-people. If it's evangelical in any way, right? But if we cannot trust the word of God, if we cannot apply the scripture to our daily living, even as a litmus test for a person who is claiming to be a Christian. I mean, guys, do you understand that just because you put the word Christian on something does not mean that all of a sudden it is?
That's happening a lot, though.
I mean, as you rightly referred to earlier, there
yeah.
are people who are calling themselves Christian witches.
Like, what is that?
There are gay celibate Christians. And we're supposed to accept this as it is. I saw a story. I didn't even bother clicking on it to read the story, but I saw the headline of the Bachelorette talking about that she engages in premarital sex and Jesus is still okay with her. Like, Jesus still loves me, still accepts me, just as I am, kind of a thing, you know? And one of the reasons I didn't even bother reading the story is because that's not a part of my consumption.
Right.
Yeah. So it, to me, it seems a waste of an investment of time to even read it, because I think anybody who is going on a show to publicly engage in a dating test whereby there is making out on television for people to consume publicly, I have a question about your fidelity to scripture.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question about your loyalty
some
to the Lord Jesus Christ.
About that. Yeah.
And here's the thing, man, and I want to move on. I really do, because we've got some other stories that we want to get to today. You know, we have got to stop setting the bar low for people who claim to be Christians, man. You understand? We have moved so far beyond people willing to give their very lives. I mean, literally. I'm not talking today. Today is a figurative death, right? Today it is you are ostracized or you go to Facebook jail, your Twitter account gets blocked, and people can't even handle that.
Yeah.
They can't even handle
that.
They're like, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. They've blocked my Twitter accounts. I'm like, holla at Polycarp. Send the beasts in. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what about Perpetua and Felicitas? Like, come on, man. You know, and we are so disconnected from that type of conviction that we're like, I'm suffering for Jesus. I can't log into Facebook today. Facebook won't let me update my status. Suffering for the cause of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a real attack on conservatives on social media. We know it.
Right.
It's setting up for real time. There's other shows that probably discuss that. But we're headed that way. But understand, if we cannot apply the word of God as a litmus test and we just are supposed to accept everything that is presented to us, then we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. And we are guilty of watering down the faith. And we're going to get into some of that as the weeks and the months go on and we really take a look at what's happening in the culture. But I hope that answers the question. Like, we're not picking on a faithful believer and criticizing his prayer. We are saying this is what the culture is producing and telling the church, capital C, that this too is church.
Yep. It's the lines being blurred.
That's right.
You know,
Like, there is a difference, you know, and it can't just be someone said a prayer or prayed that would make them be a Christian. You know, that's
Come
a Christian
on, man.
Now. You know, even with character that's not godly and all this stuff happening, you know, just because they said a prayer or just because they quoted a scripture,
Come
now,
on.
You know, Christians are to say, well, that's one of us.
Right, with no other visible change in their life.
Exactly.
With no other visible change in their life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. To the Christian, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So the work done in your life that shows you're a different person from the person that came to the cross, that you leave it differently. But we can't even have this conversation because we're in a patty cake era where it's like, oh, but just be happy that they've turned their head in Jesus' direction. Even if they're not converts, just be happy that they're showing up and warming the pews. Let me tell you something. The reason that it's difficult for us to spot the great falling away that has taken place in the last days that we're in, and that's where we are, the reason it's been difficult for us to spot it is because we thought that our churches would look like what our churches looked like just prior to the first Great Awakening in this country. We thought that our churches were going to be empty. We thought that there was going to be this mass exodus from church, and we'd say, oh, man, that's the great falling away that was foretold. The rapture is soon to happen. Jesus is coming back just as he promised. We thought that's what we would see. But instead, what we are seeing is we are seeing churches bursting at the seams. They're filled to overflowing. In fact, let me describe it this way. There was a time we would say they're filled to overflowing. Now what we say is they're filled to three service capacity.
Yeah.
They're filled to three services. You get to pick. Not an early riser. Boy, have we got a service for you. Right? And so our churches are filled. And so it's difficult for us to see the great falling away because people are falling away and not going away. And now we have the type of church services that allow for people to be very comfortable in their sin and their rebellion against God. There is no correction. There is no church discipline applied. There is no call for sanctification. There's no call to be set apart from the culture. You can live however you want, and then all you got to do is offer the right words, and people will say, well, it's okay, because really God knows their heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he does, and that really should be quite frightening.
Yeah.
Like that should bother people. That should absolutely bother people.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the point that we're making. That's why we discuss it. It's not to, you know, we're not picking on little DMX. Trust me, he can handle himself. He's okay. DMX is not intimidated by Miki's discussion over whether or not we should be agreeing with prayers uttered out to the air to an unknown God. Mm. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it the God of the Bible? Do we have a way that we know him? Do we have a way that he has revealed himself to his creation?
Yeah, and it's almost like I think about The slave girl, I think it was a slave girl that was following Paul.
Yeah.
And she was saying all the right things.
Yeah.
She was saying, these men are the men of God.
Come on.
They come in, you know. But he turned around and rebuked her and cast out the demon, you know, because she wasn't really of God.
Like, right.
Even though she was saying the right things.
And because she knew, but she was not exalting and praising God.
Right.
I mean, and so, man, that's my point. That's ultimately the point that I'm making. I'm gonna move on. I came across this article and I thought, well, this is just par for the course. We already know that a lot of the social media platforms that we enjoy, we already know that they're in cahoots with the progressive liberals, and we know that they're after our children. We know that they have a vested interest in seeing our young girls throw their bodies away, conceive children only to murder them. We already know this.
Yeah.
And then this is just another one of those examples. Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg recently bragged about donating $1 million to Planned Parenthood Action. That's the advocacy group, the advocacy arm of Planned Parenthood. She told HuffPost that she was doing this to help Planned Parenthood fight what she calls draconian laws recently passed in states like Alabama, Georgia, and Missouri. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, man, you know, there was a time when these people would, you know, they would give anonymously. Because they didn't want people to know where they... No.
Not anymore.
No.
It's boldness. They're out and they don't mind to be known. You know,
that's right.
If you know who they are, and they'll get on platforms and scream out and say, yes, this is what I've done.
Exactly
and
right.
It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. It's mind-boggling that you could have a person who could make much of being all in for the slaughter of babies.
Right.
Right. Now, I think it's important to mention this was a personal donation. This was not a donation made in Facebook's name or Facebook's honor or anything like this. This is a private citizen, so to speak, making a donation. But she is the chief operating officer of Facebook. And you cannot tell me, with all of the information we know coming out of Silicon Valley, you cannot tell me that these people do not have, it's not, I feel like to call it a liberal bent, I feel like that's child's play now.
Right.
I feel like we have to say they have an aggressive agenda that is committed to indoctrination.
Oh, yeah, committed to it. And we'll put big bucks and all type of power behind it. You know, that agenda is aggressive. And it's like out in the open killing of babies.
That's right.
You know, and they don't mind.
And let me tell you something. I got to say that with what we've seen come out of Alabama, Georgia, and Missouri, one of the things that the Lord really impressed on my heart as we were looking at this is that we were going to see a new crop of Christians. We were really going to see who cared about protecting and defending life. And I have seen the ugly underbelly of what is modern Christianity as it pertains to children, where you've got Christians who are saying, well, you know, that's too radical what they want to do in Alabama. That's too radical. We can't, I mean, man, should we really? And this is the question that they're asking. Should we really criminalize abortion? Well, my question is it a crime? Is it a crime? By God's standards, right. Is it a crime? Or are we talking about the murder of an innocent child? That's the question.
Right, right.
And you add to that, so you've got Sheryl Sandberg, who just donated $1 million. Now, she's donated a large sum of money to Planned Parenthood before. This is not new. This is just most recent. So you've got Sheryl Sandberg, who's donated $1 million to Planned Parenthood Action. On top of that, you've got Teen Vogue that is working incessantly to sexualize young girls.
Indoctrination.
Now, listen, I don't know, and this is where I often want to come alongside parents, and I want to say, listen, it's not as innocent as you think. Right? You say, well, you're okay with your kid reading these teen magazines, or you think, oh, yeah, maybe it's okay because it's, you know, it's teenage entertainment. I think this is what we really have to take into consideration, what is being pumped into the hearts and into the minds of our young kids.
That's right.
Now, Teen Vogue in recent months has run several articles that I would say attack girls. These articles are so destructive that they can only be described as an attack on young girls. Earlier this month, so just a few weeks ago, Teen Vogue told 16-year-olds how to get an abortion against their parents' wishes and how to bypass state laws. Mm-hmm. Teen Vogue is an article written in Teen Vogue teaching 16-year-old girls how to secure an abortion against their parents' wishes and how to bypass state laws. Now, listen, do you understand that our culture does not care if you show up at an abortion clinic and try to help those in need? They don't care because your kids are at home, so they've got them. They don't care if you show up. They don't care if you give money to your local crisis pregnancy center. Because you're also giving money to them by buying the magazines, allowing for the online subscriptions. So they're like, we don't care.
Right.
Because ultimately, what are they after? They are after the next generation anyway. I want you to listen to this because I found this to be quite telling. This article written by a woman named Nona Willis Aronowitz, where she describes and tells young teenagers how they can get an abortion against their parents' wishes. But she gets to this one place that I think can only be described as demonic, where she says to the teenager, if your parents protest, if your parents have a problem with you getting an abortion, just remind them that Christians get abortions. Your parents that Christians get abortions, because even pro-lifers, when their back is against the wall, they too get abortions. And you know, I read that line, and I wanted to be outraged until I thought for a second, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. We got to grab the break. Erin the Addisons, American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
How often do we minister only to those who are like-minded? When I was coaching, sometimes I'd have a coach or a player who may not have had a perfect past, and people would ask me if I really wanted them on the staff or the roster, or even if I wanted to be associated with them at all. Jesus wants us actively ministering to people who need to be ministered to, who need to know the source of that difference in our lives, and who need Jesus' healing words and his grace. How else will we show the world that we're different and we can impact those who may need it?
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. More at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As Christians, there should still be opportunities to speak to the culture, to preach the gospel, and to become what they would see as an agitator.
Bearing the Addisons.
Man, this church, these people of God are turning America upside down. Is our culture saying that about us in America? No, because we allowed America to infiltrate and co-opt the church. The world is turning our churches upside down.
Oh my goodness.
Bearing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Like that? Does that trigger people?
I hope not.
Are people triggered?
Well,
I'm looking at you, Nike.
Sorry.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not really sorry, but you know.
I'm just wondering. That's a patriotic song. Can people handle it? Is it okay?
Well, I love it.
I just want to make sure. We should have given a trigger warning. We should have given a trigger warning.
This is America, right?
Last I checked, but hey, I mean, for now.
Huh?
For now. Anyways, quote, one thing I've learned while researching and reporting on these issues is that supposedly anti-abortion Americans often get abortions. This is Nona Willis Aronowitz, who wrote in Teen Vogue, telling 16-year-olds how to get abortions. That was a quote from her. I got another one, but let me just say welcome back to the program. This is Erin the Addisons. On American Family Radio, I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and that's Angela Prim with Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you, Angela.
Come on.
Next time,
man.
Please start your song with a trigger warning so that we can all be okay.
This is
Sherry
America.
B is on deck. This is America. I like how we have to remind ourselves of that.
Right.
I like how we are in a place right now where we have to remind ourselves that, hey, like your mom was talking to the kids the other day. It may have been yesterday. Your mom was talking to the kids yesterday, and she said, it's a free country for now.
Right.
Like you have to say that. You used to be able to say, it's a free country. I'm not touching you.
And
I can look at you.
That's different from when you give everything away for free.
Yeah, no, that's not what she meant. She was speaking more of liberty.
Yes.
Like Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, but thanks. That's another topic.
Yeah.
Should have issued a trigger warning for that. Hey, if you want to talk to us, you can. 888-589-8840. Sherry B is over in, that's going to be our Studio CC. It's still Studio CC.
I don't know if that's what it's
called. We carried it over.
We're just going to call it
that. That's just what it is for us perpetually. You can give us a call if you want to comment on anything that we're discussing today. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Sherry B is there. Continuing with this quote from Miss Aronowitz, who writes for Teen Vogue, telling 16-year-olds how to get an abortion. She says, quote, talking about these pro-life, or as she calls them, anti-abortion parents, she says, they often help their children procure abortions. You know those activists who stand outside clinics holding signs. Signs adorned with Bible verses and pictures of fetuses. She says, even they sometimes get abortions.
Mm. Wow.
Upwards of 80% of women who self-identify as Christian are getting abortions. She's not wrong.
Right.
You'd like to have a moment where you get to stop and say, hold up. You know, now, if this is not enough to convince you that Teen Vogue has an agenda, in 2017 alone, Teen Vogue ran 63 different abortion positive articles. 63 different abortion positive articles in 2017 alone. One that might grab your attention. In February 2017, Teen Vogue had an article that they ran, What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion.
Wow.
What should you get a friend post-abortion? That's Teen Vogue for you. Just a few months ago, in April, Teen Vogue ran an article, and this is earlier in 2019, Why Sex Work is Real Work, in which they pushed for teenagers to believe that prostitution should be decriminalized. Why Goodness. Sex work is real work.
Are you talking about Teen Vogue?
This is Teen Vogue. Now, I'm glad you bring that point up because, you know, I think that there are people who are listening. They're saying like, oh, my goodness, like, who is this? Who is this marketed to? Is this really marketed to teenagers? Well, Teen Vogue says of its own publication that 18 to 24 year olds, that's their sweet spot. 18 to 24 year olds is what they where they want to be. But still, teenagers younger than that are reading these articles. Why? Because it's called Teen Vogue.
Man, it's so
right?
slick with their, you know, marketing.
Hello.
It's slick.
The masters of deception.
Bad
Let
slick.
Me read this last thing here on this topic, and then we'll go to the phone lines. In 2017, The Guardian interviewed Teen Vogue's editorial staff about their publication shift from a focus on clothing and makeup to left-wing politics. You want to know what they said? The editor there, Elaine Welteroth, described Teen Vogue's audience as, quote, woke.
Mm.
Teen Vogue's woke. Editor said, our audience is woke. So what they're doing is trying to play to that woke audience. She said, this is somebody who is sophisticated conscious.
Sophisticated conscious.
Conscious.
Okay. Okay, then.
come on.
Ludicrous.
What is that?
It's ludicrous.
What is that? And we are willingly turning our kids over to the culture. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Will the Great, who's up first?
Oh, we have Susan in Texas. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Will and Mickey. I just want to say that y'all need to send Hard Truth, the copy that Mickey wrote, to Kanye. It would just solve a lot. He could start right off. He could go to the end and start with day 30. Follow your heart is an encouragement. Satan whispers.
Oh, God bless you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your comments. That, man, I gotta admit, Susan pegged me because I was thinking about that as I was talking about a lot of the things that we believe about the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you inspect the scriptures, you find that those things have come from your own mind.
Man.
You know what I mean? Anyways, Susan, you got me. That's what I was thinking, Susan. Susan got me. She read my mind. We don't do that, Susan, in the Lord. All right? Let's go back to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Who's up next, Will the Great?
All right, we have John in Kansas. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Doing good.
That's good. So I just wanted to talk about how, like, on everyone's opinion, how homosexuality and everyone gets offended by that. And I think I love to turn to the Bible and see what God says about this and how it's wrong. And I mean, I'm going to be a sophomore in high school, so I'm fairly young, but there's a bunch of people, like there's gays in my school, mm-hmm. and there's people that say they're transgenders, and you got problems with people going to different locker rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and you can't really even talk about, I get in trouble a lot during sports whenever I talk about God.
Yeah.
And it's like people just, they always get offended for the littlest thing I mentioned God, and wow. My coaches yell at me.
Wow.
Hey, John, right?
That's
who
John.
We're talking to? John, you say you're 17 mm-hmm. years old?
I'm 15.
You're 15 years old. 15
wow.
years old. John, listen to me very, very clearly here. Hold the line, brother.
Yes.
Hold the line. Let me tell you something. The enemy wants to wear down your faith. Do you understand? I want to share this with you, and I want to encourage you. This is how I've been encouraging teenagers, and I want to encourage you in this way. In fact, at the end of this month, we're going to be at Camp Kale in North
That's
Carolina.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're going to be teaching a week of youth apologetics to kids 9th to 12th grade. Our family is going to be there. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Truth for a New Generation and check that information out. I hope you'll join us if you can. But let me tell you something. Every single day, John, that you wake up, every single day before you go to school, before you're involved in your sports, listen to me very clearly here. Be ready to die for Jesus. Mm. I'm not talking to you about a literal death. I'm talking about a figurative death where you're going to be ostracized, where you are going to be criticized. But the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, by way of the Apostle Peter, tells us very plainly to sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts as holy. Set him apart in our lives.
That's
in
right.
the seat of our emotions, set the Lord Jesus Christ apart. That's going to determine how you engage the culture. That's going to determine how you hold the line. So let me tell you something. What you are suffering right now, you are suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the enemy tell you that it's not worth it. You keep holding the line. I thank God for you. I think we need 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds to hold the line in their generation. This is the gospel didn't get to us by way of Hail Mary. There are consistent lines of scrimmage. And John, you're at the line of scrimmage right now. You got to keep holding the line, buddy. Keep holding the line every single day. Be prepared to die. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
We go to Kathy in Ohio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to say that you have a very powerful, needed message for the church, and I have appreciated what you've said today so much, and I just encourage you to keep that coming. And then I just wanted to say, too, that the song you played brought me to immediate tears, so that's
Praise
how I reacted to it.
God
bless
you,
Kathy. That's great to hear. Yeah, that's where we need to be. It's sobering, right? It's
Amen.
Sobering to understand how our nation was founded. And that we once revered God, that we once set him apart as
right.
holy in our nation, and now we have trampled all over that.
Come on.
It's really sad. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
Let's go to Kevin in Arkansas. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, thank you all for taking my call.
No problem.
I love what you're talking about, concerning Kanye's church. You know, the word church means the ecclesia or the called out.
Come on.
Today, this inclusion thing is they want to stay connected in the world, but not separated unto Christ.
Mm.
I mean, two scriptures was given to me whenever I was whenever the Lord first called me. And I had an experience with God, and then I began to seek God, but then all of a sudden he wasn't answering.
Mm.
And I was wondering what am I not doing right?
Yeah.
And anyhow, I found myself in a jail cell with a Gideon Bible, and I began to read the Bible, and two scriptures came to me, and this was the pivotal point of my experience of conversion. I found the two scriptures was make yourself a holy sacrifice acceptable unto God. In other words, God was going to determine the acceptability of my sacrifice.
Mm.
And in other words, it's not that there is an animal sacrifice. You're the sacrifice. You laid down your life, and that's the cross.
Mm.
And the other scripture was, whenever you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back.
That's right.
And there has to be a determination to turn away from something and to turn unto something and knowing you'd never turn back.
Amen.
Just like Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, you don't need to ask him a day later, a month later, a year later. As for him and his house, they're going to serve the Lord. And
Amen.
Hold on.
At that point, God moved on me.
Hey,
that,
Kevin.
Wow.
Look, I just wanted to make sure you allow some time for Will to play the organ.
What that? Then?
I mean, he's preaching right there. So, like, when I was growing up in church, when the preacher really got going, somebody just walked up to the platform and just started playing the organ. It sounded something like this. And the preacher would start to preach alongside that instrument. And if there was anyone still uncertain about what Jesus was doing in the building, that uncertainty left. So, Kevin, I just want to thank you for taking us
the church
right up to that moment. Thank you so much. All right, let's go back to the phone line. I can't believe you were really ready with the organ. 888-589-8840. Old habits. 888-589-8840. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
We're going to go to Jane in Texas.
Hey, Jane.
Hey, Jane. Jan?
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I'm just confused. I'm, like, really kind of getting depressed about all this, you know, like, how the Nike shoes came out with a little flag on there. I don't even know what in the world that person, Kaepernick, is thinking.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm 50-something years old, but I just don't even get that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So maybe you could shed some light on that.
Okay. Oh no, I'm not gonna let you back me into that corner, Jane. I'm not gonna let you make me defend that madness. No, I don't get it either. Thank you for your call. I mean, what we're talking about is we're talking about daycare, we're talking about babysitting. We're talking about a generation of people who have understood that you can garner a whole lot of attention by being easily offended.
Man.
That's what we're talking about.
And you know, it's convenient for him. It's, you know, something like this happens, he pop up. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick. He pop up
he goes,
as
hey, I'm still here, guys.
Right.
You remember me?
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Hey, this is racist. I mean, it's like, come on, man.
It's amazing. I mean, Nike had already shipped the shoes out and then recalled them.
Man.
So we don't know how many of the shoes have already been purchased, but I'll tell you,
but
man.
Look at that stranglehold. It's like they are recalling tennis shoes because this guy and a few others have said, oh, that's racist.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
That's where we live.
That's where this is. Hey, guys, welcome to 21st Century America. This is where we are. This is what we do. Do we have time to squeeze in one more call? Let's do one more call today.
Let's see. Let's go to Jerome in Texas. Hey, Jerome
in Rome.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Jerome. I'm originally from New York, but to get right to the point, thank you very much for having me. That Teen Vogue article spoke about Christians having abortions, and I think Nikki broke it down very well about how we enter into the relationship with Christ through repentance. And through a confession, a public confession, hopefully in a baptism. But then there's a process that happens after that. And it seems to me that during the process that we tend to agree more and more with the Father God every day and His Son Jesus Christ rather than to back away and establish our own opinions about things.
Oh, so, Jerome.
Thank you, Jerome.
That is the perfect place
for
us to leave it today, because I think the point that Jerome is making, and I think all of our listeners heard it today, that you are not just a Christian because you call yourself one, no more than you're a nugget because you're inside a Chick-fil-A.
Come on.
Mm.
Although, Chick-fil-A, people hear a lot about that.
I just got to tell you, if you're new to Aaron the Addisons, we mention Chick-fil-A every Friday. It is our duty to mention Chick-fil-A every Friday. We consider eating Chick-fil-A missions. It's the Lord's food.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but Jerome, no, I think that was the better place to leave it. Let me toggle back from the Chick-fil-A. We're out of time. We'll be back with you tomorrow, if the Lord wills. Until then.
God bless.